Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Daf Chav Zayin. We begin at the very, very top words, Chav Zayin Umar Aleph, where we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Upiv Mitzupa Zohav. The mouth part, the part that you blow into the shofar, is plated with gold. Now, this was telling us about the shofar that you blow in the Rosh Hashanah. And the Gemara questions this and says, Vatanya, but wait a second, we learned in the Braisa that if you plate it with gold, Tzipo Zohav, if you plate it with Mokom Anochas Piv, if you plate it in the place where you go and put your mouth on it, then it's possible. It's not a kosher shofar. It's going to change the sound. You're not blowing into a shofar, you're blowing into a plated metal. So it's only shelo b'makom anochas piv that it's kosher. If you have plating, not where you put your mouth, then it's good. So how could our Mishnah say that you have piv mitzupa zov? Doesn't seem to be kosher. So Amar Abaye explains, no. Kitnan nami mastisin shelo b'makom anochas petinan. When our Mishnah stated that the piv is mitzupa zov, it doesn't mean actually the part where you put your mouth around the shofar, but it means beyond that a little bit. So the plating on the outside part of the shofar doesn't impact the sound at all, and therefore it's not where you blow into it, and therefore that's why it's kosher, and you do this to Zekeli Yanveo to make the shofar more beautiful. Then the Mishnah said, Ushtei Chatzot Sros Minatzdadim. On Rosh Hashanah, the shofar was in the middle, and you had a trumpet on each side of the shofar, and they were blown as well. And you were marich, you blew a longer sound with the shofar than you did with the chatzotzros. So Gemara says, wait a second, utrei kolei mimish tamoi? Is it possible that you'd be able to hear and differentiate the sound of the shofar from the sound of the trumpets? We normally don't allow two voices to be heard simultaneously to be yotzei with something. V'atanya, we learned in a braisa that only zohar v'shomar b'dibur echad nemru. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do anything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can have two voices sound identical at the same time. So Klai Yisrael was able to hear Zohar and Shomar B'dibur Echad, like we say in the Lechad Odi every Friday night, Shomar V'Zohar. Why does it say Shomar V'Zohar? It really should be Zohar V'Shomar. So it's interesting. That's because we want to have the author's name, Shlomo. So the author of the Lechad Odi, his name was Shlomo, and therefore he put Shomar V'Zohar B'dibur Echad. But really, Zohar was in Parshas Yisro, and Shomar is in Parshas Voeschanan, so therefore it really should be Zohar v'Shomar. In any event, they were said B'dibur Echad Nemru. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able to pronounce them simultaneously, and Klai Yisrael was able to hear them simultaneously. As opposed to a human being, Masha'en Kein, HaPeh Yechol L'Daber Vein HaOzen Yechol L'Shmoa. Under normal circumstances, a human mouth can't speak two words at the same time, and a human ear can't hear two voices at the same time, and have a clarity that this was this voice and that was that voice. So therefore, how could we have the shofar blowing at the same time that the chatzotzros are blowing? So Gemara says, that's why. Lekach marich b'shofar. That's why the Mishnah said that the shofar blows longer than the trumpets. So therefore, you're not being yotzei with the sound that the shofar is making simultaneously with the trumpets, but you're being yotzei with the sound that the shofar makes after the trumpets stop blowing. Gemara doesn't like this. Gemara questions this. That implies lameimra, dechi shama sof tekiya below tchilas tekiya yatsa. That would imply that if you heard only the last sounds of a shofar and you didn't hear the first sounds of the shofar of the blast of the tekiya, you'd be yotzei umimela. And by the same understanding, tchilas tekiya, if you only heard the beginning of the tekiya below sof tekiya and you didn't hear the end of the tekiya yatsa, would a person in fact be yotzei? That is incorrect. I'll show you that that's not true. Tashma, we learned in the following Mishnah, is a Mishnah that we're going to have later in the Masechta, and this Mishnah says, Toka barishona umoshach b'shnia kishtayim. We know that we sometimes have two tekiyas in a row. So for example, the last tekiya at the end of the first row of blowing tekiya, trua, tekiya. So then you go to the second row, and you blow another tekiya, trua, tekiya. So the last tekiya in the first row, and the first tekiya in the second row, are two tekiyas, one right next to the other. So normally we blow tekiya, and then we pause, and then we say tekiya again, and tekiya, we blow another tekiya. What happens if the person who's blowing the shofar just blows one very long tekiya? So let's say a tekiya is supposed to be 4 seconds. So he blows a tekiya that's 8 seconds, and he says, this counts as two tekiyas. Is that good or is that not good? So the third sound is a tekiya, the fourth sound is another tekiya, and instead of blowing 2 4-second separate tekiyas, he blew 1 8-second tekiya. Umashach b'shniya kishtayim, and he blows long enough that it would last for the amount of time that you'd have to have for a tekiya, for two tekiyos. So the Mishnah there tells us, ein b'yadu el achas, it only counts as one. You have 1 8-second tekiya, not 2 4-second tekiyas that are combined. Now, am I, based upon what we just said, that you're allowed to go and only hear the end part or only hear the beginning part, so why don't we say that each of these two tekiyos should count as a separate tekiyah, even though he didn't stop in between them. Tislek lo bitarti. You should be able to go and be yotzi with both of them. So Gemara says, no. The reason why you can't over here is because pisuke tekiyos lehadade, to go and separate out two tekiyos from one long tekiyah, lo paskina. That we can't do. But if you were to have the trumpets blowing, and then you only heard the end part alone, after the trumpet stopped, then you just heard the rest of the tekiyah. That would be perfectly fine, as long as it had the shear. So therefore, that is allowed in regards to the trumpets and the tekiyos, as opposed to when you're blowing one long tekiyah and saying it should count as two shorter tekiyahs. That doesn't work. Gemara tries again. Toshma, we learned in the following Mishnah. We'll actually get to this Mishnah. It starts at the very bottom of Zayin Omed Aleph, and we'll get it to later in today's shir. So we'll have Chazor even within today's shir on it, because we're learning it now. And it says, Atokei Aletol Chabor. If a person blows a shofar into a pit, O Letol Chadruz, O into another type of a pit known like as a cistern. Eretz Yisrael, of course, needs to always collect rainwater. So they would collect it either in a bar or in a dus, various types of underground collecting places for water. Oh, the socha pitam. A pitam, Rashi tells us, is a large barrel. Chav is gedola. So the Mishnah tells us that if a person blows a shofar into this bar when it's empty from water, or the dus when it's empty from water, the pitam when it's empty from anything else in this large barrel. So it depends. If you hear the actual sound of the shofar, you're yotzei. But if you hear an echo coming out of this pit or cistern or barrel, so then you're not yotzei. So that's what the Mishnah says. In kol shofar shama yotza. However, in kol havara shama lo yotza. It depends what you heard. If you actually heard the sound of the shofar itself, not interrupted or changed in any way, so then you're yotzei. But if you heard the echo of that shofar, you're not yotzei. So the Gemara asks, am I... If you're telling me that it's acceptable to hear just part of the shofar blowing, as long as it's the shear when it was blowing with the trumpet, so then leipuk betchilas tekiyah, as soon as you start blowing into this bar or dus or pitam, you're going to hear the sound of the shofar before you hear the echo. So you should be yotzi with that. Mikame dil arvev kola. Before you mix it with the echo, you should have been yotzi. So how come you're not yotzi? What does our Mishnah tell us? Only if you heard pure shofar, you're yotzi, but if you heard kol havara, an echo, you're not yotze. But based upon what we just said, if you hear only partial sound, you're okay. You don't have to hear the whole full time the sound. So, kasha against our interpretation of our Mishnah, that you're only hearing the end part in your yotze. Someone says, elo, the answer is, tarte kole mechad gavro lo mishtamoy. When you have two blasts coming from one person, so that's not able to be heard. So here, you have the sound of the person blowing into the pit, followed by the echo coming from the pit. You can't be yotzi with that. You won't be able to distinguish between the two sounds. However, mitre gavre, if you have one person blowing trumpets and one person blowing on a shofar, mishtamai, that you can hear. And that's why in our Mishnah today, the shofar is fine, even though you heard it with the trumpets. Because in this situation, it's two gavre. And therefore, you can tell each person, you can distinguish this was the sound of the trumpet and this was the sound of the person blowing the shofar. As opposed to when it's one person blowing into the dus or the bar or the pitam, so it's the same person, you can't distinguish between the two sounds. So Gemara questions this as well. Really? Omitre gavre mi mishtamoy? Are you telling me that two different people, you're telling me that you can hear the person blowing the trumpets different from the person blowing the shofar? In general, we're not concerned about two gavre, two people, mi mishtamoy, can you hear it? But Tanya, another braisa that says, when you're laning, batorah, when a person is laning, so echad kore, one person lanes, the echad metargim, and you have one person being the maturguman. He's the one that says the Targum Unkelis out loud to the people. We don't do this today, although there's still, I understand, certain Eidos HaMizrach that do this. I think in the Yemenite community they still do this, where you have the person laning, and then you have the maturguman saying in the Targum, he says Unkelis out loud for everybody to understand what was just laned. So we don't do this anymore today in Ashkenazic shuls for certain, but they used to have that one person would lay and then another person would be metagin, but they couldn't do it together. Ubavad, now the gerson that we have is Ubavad shlo yushnayim korin. But the more correct gerson is Ubavad shlo ye echod kore ushnayim metagimin. So you shouldn't have multiple people speaking at the same time. Whichever gerson that we have, you shouldn't have multiple people speaking because you won't be able to hear, even though it's tre gavre, even though it's two people, you won't be able to clearly understand. And therefore, Here's a kasha. How can you tell me because two people are blowing, one on the shofar and one on the chatzotzos, that you can hear it? Trei gavrei mishtamai. Here you clearly see the trei gavrei lo mishtamai. So Gemara answers no. Holodami el sefer. No, you have to keep on reading this brisa. The sefer of the brisa. The brisa continues and says holodami el sefer bahalel u'megillah. Then the sefer says, however, for halel and the reading of the Megillah on Purim, even afilu asara korin, you can be yotze. Why? Alma kivan de chaviv yoiv daite, because halel and the Megillah are such desirous things to people. They want to hear them so badly. They have such a chavivus for them. So therefore, you're going to be able to distinguish between even 10 people reading it. You'll be able to hear clearly that this is one person, that you're hearing the whole laning from that one person, the whole Megillah from that one person, or the whole halel that you're following along to be yotze with from that one person. The other people won't get in your way. Others suggest that you actually hear all 10 simultaneously, and you're actually hearing all of them. Whichever way you understand it, it's because of the chavivus of halel and the Megillah, which aren't read every day. They're not read on a regular basis, and you look forward to that. People look forward to the Megillah all year long. People look forward to a beautiful halel. We don't say it every day, and therefore, they're chaviv and yohiv daite. A person, because of his desire to hear it, will be able to pay special attention. In our situation of the shofar and the chatzotzros, it's the same thing. Hochanami. Kivan de chaviv, we're so interested. People come into shul from all over the place. They listen to the shofar. So yoiv daite, a person will pay attention, vishama, and he'll be able to distinguish between the chatzotzros and the shofar. Now, of course, we don't blow chatzotzros in our shul. The Gemara later on will tell us that this was only done in the Beis HaMikdash. But this answers our question, how we could have an Amishta saying that you could have the chatzotzos and the shofar blowing at the same time. But that leads us to the question. So if you're telling me that a person can distinguish because it's so chaviv between the chatzotzos and the shofar, so then why do we marich the kol of the shofar? The original teretz we gave was that you're really only being yotzei with the kol that you're marich, but we rejected that. And now we're saying that you yotzei the entire kol, but why then are you marech? El olama marech b'shofar. What's the purpose of being marech with the shofar if you're able to distinguish between the shofar and the chatzotzos so they can end at the same time? So one says, no, that's a simple answer. Leida, in order to let people know, she mitzvah sayom b'shofar. The real ikur mitzvah is with the shofar, not with the chatzotzos. In the Beis HaMikdash, they brew chatzotzos as well. But the ikur mitzvah was with the shofar. Now the Gemara says, Uvetanios b'shel zucharim kufufu. And our Mishnah said that on the Tanis, when they blew shofar, they used specifically zucharim and ayil kufufin that were bent. And we said, upiv, the Rashash changes this to pihen, like the gears of our Mishnah, mitzupa kesef. Here, the mouthpiece of the shofar was silver plated and not gold plated. So the Gemara asks the obvious question: why is the shofar on Rosh Hashanah with gold plating and the shofar that we're using on the Tanios silver plated? Now, some understand this question a little bit differently because they say it's obvious because the mitzvah of the shofar is with the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, and the mitzvah with the shofar on the Tanios is not with the shofar, it's with the chatzotzro. So that's why it's subordinate. So the understanding of the Turi Eben and the Sfas Emes is as follows, that the question is, how come the chatzotzros aren't gold? Why do we make the chatzotzros kesef and not gold? Because if you're telling me that the ikker is always the gold, so then I understand why the shofar is gold, but why aren't the chatzotzros gold as well? So the Gemara gives two terutz. Mibayi say mo kol kinufyo de kesefil, because whenever you're gathering the sibur, you bedavka use a silver instrument to go and collect them. The chsiv, as the pasuk says, asei lecho shtei chatzotzros kesef. The pasuk tells us specifically that you should make the shtei chatzotzros of kesef. Mikshot taso sum. The rest of the pasuk says you make them out of a solid block. Vayulecho lemikra ha'eda, and this is how you go and gather the people. Ulamasa es ha'machanos. So the people know that we're now about to move the machanos. So therefore, either the shofar and or the chatzotzros bedavka are made from kesef. If you're saying the shofar is assisting the chatzotzros, so that's why the shofar is silver plated over here, and therefore we understand why on Rosh Hashanah it's gold plated and on Tanios it is silver plated. That's teretz number one. Ibayi sema, teretz number two, HaTorah chasa mamon mamonon shel Yisrael. The Torah had mercy on Klaiso's money. It costs a lot of money to plate something with gold. It's less expensive to plate something with silver. And therefore, the Torah, based upon Rashi, tells us that when a person's house gets zaras, so it says v'tziva kohen upinu es habayis, you before the kohen declares the house to be tame, everything is still tar. So before the kohen declares that it's tame, he tells you to remove everything from the house. Now, things that can go and be immersed in a mikvah will be able to become tar. The only things that can't be immersed in a mikvah are the inexpensive kli cheres shebesocho. Shein lehem tara b'mikvah. They can't be cleaned in a mikvah. So your gold and your silver, they're not going to be ruined. It's only your inconsequential, inexpensive earthenware that you're going to have to throw away if you didn't do this din. And nevertheless, the Torah was chos al mamon shuklaiso, the 10 cents that you'd have to throw away, this little piece of pottery. So therefore, the Torah says, no, take it out of the house before you declare the house has tzaras. So therefore, we see for me, our Torah chos al mamon shal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is concerned that the Jewish people shouldn't have their money wasted. So therefore, in this situation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, it's okay to use silver plating rather than gold plating. So if that's the reason, then Hachasim Nami, so then by the shofar as well, Navi the Kesef. So then if God is concerned about our money, so then why did he make the shofar of Rosh Hashanah gold-plated? He should have made that silver-plated as well. So the Gemara says, no. Even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu is concerned about our money, but sometimes we have to spend it. Apil Hachi, Kavod Yontif Adiv. Here, for the Kavod of Yontif, we want to have the most beautiful things. There's no need for Kavod over here to gather the people on a Tanis. It's a day of sadness. It's a day of famine. It's a day of some tzara. And we're gathering all the people. So that's not an Indian of Kavod. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Chos HaMamon Shel Yisrael. But when it comes to dressing up for Yontif, so to say, so then a person has to have a gold-plated shofar. Then the work continues and says, Rapapa Bar Shmuel, Sovel Meivat Uvda Kimas Nisin, Rapapa Bar Shmuel, who lived in Bavel, and he wanted to blow on Rosh Hashanah, shofar and chatzosros. After all, that's what our Mishnah said. So only Rava told him, Lo Amu Hela B'Mikdash, that's not for Chutz La'aretz, that's not even for Eretz Yisrael, that's only in the Beis HaMikdash. Only in the Beis HaMikdash do they blow the shofar as well as chatzosros. But outside the Beis HaMikdash, we just blow shofar. And I'll show you this is right based upon the following brisa. Rava is supported by the brisa. Tani nami hochi. But medvar mamurim. The brisa says, under what circumstances are we saying that you have to have a shofar and chatzotzos? That's only by mikdash. It's only in the Beis HaMikdash. Abo b'gvulin, outside the Beis HaMikdash. That's a normal way we translate the gvulin. Makum sheish chatzotzos ain't shofar. Makum sheish shofar ain't chatzotzos. You only blow one of the two. If it's Rosh Hashanah and you blow the shofar, so then there's no chatzotzos. If it's gathering together the people for a fast day, so then there's no shofar, there's only chatzotzos. So it all depends on what you're blowing.
But you don't blow both of them at the same time outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, the Gemara continues and says, L'chein hinhig Rabbi Chalapto b'tzipori and Rabbi Chananya ben Trajon b'sichni. Both Rabbi Chalapta in the city of Tzipore, as well as Rabbi Chananya ben Trajon in the city of Sichni, tried to follow what our Mishnah suggested. As Rashi explains over here, Kimishna Seinu, they wanted to blow shofar and chatzotzros on Rosh Hashanah. However, Ukishabod Dover Eitzel Chachamim, when it became known that these great tzaddikim, Rabbi Chalapta in Tzipore and Rabbi Chananya ben Trajon in Sichni, were trying to do both, were going to arrange to have both shofar and chatzotzros, Amru, they told them no. No, this is only done in the Beis HaMikdash. In the Shari Mizrach, Rashi has two interpretations of what the Shari Mizrach were. Either they were the Shari Mizrach in the Har HaBayis itself, Shar Niknor, and the two little doors next to Shar Niknor, that's why it's called Sharei, or it means the three Sha'arim that they had in the Ezras Noshim. So that's the Shari Mizrach and the Har HaBayis, and in the Har HaBayis itself.
Only in those places will they blow both the shofar and the chatzosros. But every place else, big vulin, every place outside of the Beis HaMikdash and the Har HaBayis, they would only blow one, either if it was Rosh Hashanah, the shofar, and if it was a tanis, they would blow the chatzosros. Mark continues and says, Amar Rava v'tem Rav Shimon Levi. Either Rava or Rav Shimon Levi said the following. What is the source for this din that we just said that you only blow in the Beis HaMikdash with bov, mikra? So the pasuk says, "Dirsiv." This is a pasuk from Tehillim. Bechatzosros, the kol shofar horiyu lifnei hamelach Hashem. You only blow with the chatzosros and the shofar lifnei hamelach Hashem. Lifnei hamelach Hashem, who do we in chatzosros and shofar? Only in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, i.e., in the Beis HaMikdash on the Har HaBayis, do you blow both the shofar and the chatzotzros. However, every place else, avol bi'alma, the rest of the world, lo, you don't blow them both. You only blow shofar alone, or you blow chatzotzros alone. Finally, in the Mishnah we said, shove hayovel l'Rosh Hashanah litkia l'lebrachos v'chulei. We said that the blowing of the shofar on Yom Kippur, yovel, is identical to Rosh Hashanah's blowing of the shofar, with the same type of a shofar, litkia, and also the brachos are the same as well. And I will have two different versions of this, one arguing who the author of our Mishnah is, saying that it is in accord with Rabbi Eliezer, and the other one saying, no, it's a kasha, it can't be in accord with Rabbi Eliezer. Which Rabbi Eliezer we're talking about? This is the famous machlokas we've mentioned many times already in this Masechta, between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua, as to when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. Rabbi Eliezer's opinion is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he started the first day of Maaseh Bereishis, was Chafei Elul, and he created Adam HaRishon on Rosh Hashanah. And according to Rabbi Yoshua, HaKadosh Baruch Hu started to create the world on Chafei Adar, and he created Adam HaRishon on Aleph Nisan. Now, the Farshim explained, these two opinions aren't necessarily in opposition to each other, that you could argue that they're even going together. And that is, Tosos brings down in Dibur HaMasel Kiman Matzlinan, and at the end of that Tosos he says, Omer Rabbeinu Tam, Eilu Ve'elu Dibur Elokim Chayim. Both are right. Vikol HaMeimar, you could argue and say, the B'Tishrei Olo B'Machshav Livros, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu intended during the month of Tishrei to go and create the world. However, V'lo Nivra Ad Nisan, and didn't actually physically create it until Nisan. And we find a similar idea in the Gemara in Erevin. Gabi Odom, Sh'ol B'Machshav Livros Shnayim. Originally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said he was going to create man Shnayim, two, and then subsequently he only created one man. The Gemara elsewhere tells us that this is to show us Bishvili Nivra Olam. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu felt it was worthwhile to create the world and just have Adam HaRishon in it, so then every person should say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu built the world just for my usage. On the other hand, it also tells us in that same Gemara in Sanhedrin that a person should always say that I'm a gurnished, I'm a nothing, and that I'm not worthwhile to have anything done, anochi off of an afer type of an approach. And therefore, we're only supposed to understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the whole world for us, but at the same time, we have to understand that we're really a nothing. This is a very deep and philosophical understanding of how we should view ourselves. In any event, now let's see our Gemara. So our Gemara says, Amar Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak, Keman Matzlin Onoedna, according to whose opinion do we daven today in the Rosh Hashanah Tefillah? It says, Zayom Tchilas Masecha, Zikaron Liyom Rishon. When we say Yom Aras Olam, we say today is the first day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created mankind, and it's a Zikaron Liyom Rishon to the first day of the world. So who does that go? Like our Rosh Hashanah davening, Keman, Kirabi Eliezer, the Omar, Tishrei Nivra Olam. This goes in according with the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, who says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world on Tishrei. In other words, Adam HaRishon was created on Aleph Tishrei. Hayom Haras Olam. And on this, Masir Rabbeinu, our Mishnah is seemingly in conflict with that opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Because our Mishnah said that the davening of Rosh Hashanah and Yovel, Yom Kippur, are the same. Shava Yovel, Rosh Hashanah, Litkiyo, in regards to the type of shofar that you're blowing and the sounds, Vilabrachos, and the Shmona Esrei. Ba'ika Zayom, Tchilas Masecha, Zikron, Yom Rishon, if you're saying that in the Shmona Esrei of Rosh Hashanah and in Yom Kippur, so then it doesn't make any sense to tell me that it's both talking about Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah, because it's Yom Kippur, it's the Yovel. So therefore, the Rosh Hashanah Issa, it would make sense if it's Rosh Hashanah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world on Aleph Tishrei, however, it would be Yovel Lesa. But it doesn't make any sense to say that same thing, that today is the day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world on Yom Kippur, when he didn't create it on Yom Kippur. Oh, so if you understand it like Rabbi Yoshua, how does Rabbi Yoshua understand this? He says it means Yom Adin. So the Yom Adin stretches from Rosh Hashanah until Yom Kippur. So therefore, if you're saying that this means Yom Adin, no problem. But if you're saying it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world on Echad B'Tishrei, so then it's Akasha. So therefore, that's what Rav Ein is asking over here. This doesn't seem to be in accord with Rabbi Eliezer, our Mishnah. So where it says, no. Ki Ketani, when our Mishnah said, Shava, Hayovel, Rosh Hashanah, Litkiyah, Vilebrachos, it meant Ushara. It meant all the other brachos other than this one that said that this is Zikaron Liyom Rishon. Alternatively, the question that was raised was, our Mishnah is not in accord with Rabbi Eliezer, and then we say, no, our Mishnah could be in accord with Rabbi Eliezer. Rav Shishi bar Ravidi, Mas Neoch, he learned it in the following way. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak, Hodit Nan, Shava Yovel, Rosh Hashanah, Latkiya, Levibrachos, Keman, Delok, Rabbi Eliezer. When he learned our Mishnah, he said our Mishnah cannot be in accord with Rabbi Eliezer, because if it's really Rabbi Eliezer, the Rabbi Eliezer, you got the problem that we just pointed out. Kivan the Amar B'Tishrei Nivra Olam, since you're telling me, according to Rabbi Eliezer, Aleph Tishrei was when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam HaRishon, but that doesn't work then with the words. Ha'iko Zayom Tchilas Masecha Zikron Yom Rishon. If you say that on Rosh Hashanah, no problem, but if you're saying it on the Yovel, on Yom Kippur, you have a problem. The Rosh Hashanah Isa will be over lesser. Oh, must be that our Mishnah is not in accord with Rabbi Eliezer. So here, instead of it being a raya against our Mishnah being Rabbi Eliezer. We now turn it around and say Kiktani. When our Mishnah said that the Shmoneh Esrei is the same on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, it meant Ashayra, it meant everything else. Same terms that we gave before, but this reconciles and says, no, it could be Rabbi Eliezer, just like before we said it must be Rabbi Eliezer, and then we said, no, maybe it's not, and then we answered, yo, it could be Rabbi Eliezer. Both of them end up the same way. It could be Rabbi Eliezer, it could be Rabbi Yeshua. There's no raya from our Mishnah, either for or against Rabbi Eliezer or Rabbi Yeshua. That concludes this sugya, and now we go to the next Mishnah. We learned this earlier in today's shir. This will be a little bit chazara, but first we have parts of the Mishnah that we didn't learn yet. And here we begin to talk about what makes a shofar a kosher shofar. And the Mishnah begins, shofar shenistak. If a shofar has a crack in it, divko, and then you glue it together, Rashi says, you go and put glue on it, the devik, with a type of attaching material, shekarim glued, that you go and glue it together. So what is the halacha? So this is possible. A shofar, shenistak v'dibko, it is possible. Rashi's understanding of this is the havalei kishnei shofar. So list Rashi and the daf tells us because it would look like it's two shofars. And remember we had an earlier drasha that says, to kab a shofar, you have to blow a single shofar and not multiple shofars. That was one of the reasons why we said that it couldn't be a parah, because a parah was made up of layers and layers of shofar, and it was like two or three shofars. That was the Tanakama of our previous Mishnah that said, Rav Yossi disagreed with that. If you remember, Rav Yossi said, no, even though there's several layers, it's still called a single shofar. But certainly, if there's a crack in it, and you glue it together, so then that has the halachic status. So actually says it being two shofars, and that's why it's possible. Likewise, a debake shivrei shofars. If you took various pieces of a shofar that had cracked and you put them back together with glue, puzzle, it's also no good. Tosos disagrees and says it's not because of the time of shnei shofros. If you look in the bottom Tosos, dira maslu shofar, and you look three lines from the bottom in that Tosos, he says, lo mivsal mitam shnei mushlosh shofros, ella the ein zeh kari shofar. He says it's not called a shofar because it's broken pieces of shofar that you attach together. Alternatively, he says, inami mishum dursiv va'avarto derech avaraso. It has to go the way the animal is made. And here, when you go and piece together different pieces of a shofar, so then it's not the way it was in its natural existence. In any event, everybody agrees that it's possible. However, and we turn to Chav Zayin Amid Beis, if you have a shofar that has a knee cave, if you have a hole in the shofar, a puncture in the shofar, usamo, and then you seal it up, you plug it up with something, so it depends. In Ma'akev Esatakia, if this seal that you put in prevents the sound from coming out the way it came out beforehand, so then it's possible, because now you've changed it around. It's no longer a kosher shofar. However, if it's now the same exact sound that it was beforehand, it doesn't prevent the sound from coming out the normal way, kosher, then it's a perfectly good shofar. Tosfos explained, if you don't seal it up properly, it will prevent the sound from coming out. It will like block the sound from coming out, and therefore it is no good. But if the sound could come out normally, so then the seal doesn't impact or change the sound, and the sound could come out normally, then it's perfectly acceptable. At the end of this big Tosos, a knee cave, so three lines in the bottom, Tosos brings down, three lines in the bottom of that Tosos, he says, V'alocha l'maisa, near the shofar shenie cave. If you have a shofar that was punctured, usisamo bimino, and you plugged it up with pieces of a shofar, v'chazar l'kolo l'chamo shahaya mitchiloso, and now the sound is exactly the same way that it was before you had the hole in it, kolim shenie cave, so then, les dain v'les dayan de kosher. Then there's absolutely no doubt, no question whatsoever, that it's kosher. Afilu hoya ma'akev ha'tekiyah, Kodim Shinistan, even if before the hole was plugged up, it didn't allow the sound to come out. But as long as now the sound could come out, it would absolutely be okay. Now we get to the part of the Mishnah that we learned really early in the Shir. Hatokeh l'tocha bar, l'tocha duz, o l'tocha pitam. If a person blows a shofar into an empty pit or an empty cistern or into an empty barrel, so then the halach is, im kol shofar shama, if you're hearing the actual sound of the shofar, you yotze, yotze. Im kol avara shama, lo yotze. But if you only heard the echo, not the actual sound of the shofar, then you're not yotze. Now we have Chay Misha, and Misha continues, Chay Misha, ya over Achori Beis HaKnesses. Likewise, if a person is passing by a shul, and he is a blowing shofar, or alternatively, Oshoya Beis, or Somuch Beis HaKnesses, or he's in his house, which is right next to the shul, Vishama Kol Shofar or Kol Megillah, and he hears on Rosh Hashanah the shofar, or on Purim, he hears them laying the Megillah. So, in shul, they have in mind, by definition, to be Motze, anybody that can hear it. Right? The person who's blowing shofar doesn't have to go and name every single person listening to the shofar. I'm motzi him, I'm motzi him, I'm motzi him. He says, anybody that wants to be yotze, I'm motzi them by my blowing of the shofar. and therefore that includes people in the shul or even people outside the shul. Likewise, a person reading the Megillah, anybody who's hearing me laying the Megillah, they're Yotze. I'm intending to be Motzi them. So if the person listening, whether they're in the shul or outside the shul, has kavanah to now fulfill the mitzvah, so then they're able to do so. And that's what our Mishnah tells us over here. If somebody's walking outside the shul, or he's in his house outside the shul and he hears the blowing shofar on Rosh Hashanah, or he hears him laying the Megillah on Purim, so im kivein libo yotza. If the person listening had kavanah to be yotzi with the shofar, or had kavanah to be yotzi with the Megillah, so by definition, the person who was blowing the shofar or laying the Megillah had him in mind. So now you have the two required prerequisite components. You have the person who's doing the action having you in mind, and the person who's accepting the action or listening to the action having in mind to be yotzi. So therefore, im kivein libo yotza. However, v'im lav, he was walking by and says, "Oh, what a nice sound that was! Oh, that's another nice sound! Oh, wow, they just blew shofar! Ah, now I don't have to go to shul." No, then you weren't intending to be yotze. V'im lav lo yotze. Therefore, if you just heard the sounds but you had no intention to be yotze the mitzvah, you wouldn't be yotze. And this, therefore, could be you can have two people, one intending to be yotze the mitzvah, one not intending to be yotze the mitzvah. They each heard exactly the same sounds. Zeh kivin libo, zeh lo kivin libo. But one was yotze and one was not, because one intended to be yotze, and therefore he was. And the one who wasn't intending to be yotze, he just was hearing the beautiful music playing, he just heard somebody with a nice voice laning, so then, if he had no intention to be yotze, then he's not yotze. We start off the Gemara, Tanur Rabbanu, we bring down the following braisa. Aruch, if you have a long shofar, the kitzro, and you cut it. So it still has the shear. We'll see the shear of a shofar is that you can hold it in your hand and have a little bit sticking out on both ends. So therefore it's clear that you're in fact not making sounds from your hand. You have people that are talented, they can blow shofar with just their hands. They're not having blowing shofar. They make a shofar sound just by their mouth and their fingers. So that's not called blowing shofar. So that's why the minimum shear for shofar is that you can see the shofar outside the person's hands, a little bit on the left, a little bit to the right. So that's the minimum shear of a shofar, which is a tefach. So now, if a person had a 5-tefach shofar and he shortens it to a 3-tefach shofar, the length is now only 3 tefachim, but it used to be 5. Oruch the kitzro, if it was longer and you shortened it, kush, it's perfectly good shofar, as long as it has still the right shear. Likewise, gerdo, if you go and scraped it, you peeled it, so you removed some of the shofar, gerdo, v'hamido al gildo, and you left it only with one of the layers inside the shofar, so then still, it's kosher, as long as you have an intact shofar, so it's perfectly fine. So if a person scrapes off some of the inside part of the shofar, as long as he has an intact shofar left behind with no holes or cracks or punctures in it, so then it's a perfectly kosher shofar. Kosher. Likewise, sipozo b'mokom anachas hapeh, we had this previously, now we're going to discuss it more in detail. If a person gold-plated the shofar at the point, now here it says b'mokom anachas hapeh, the point where you put your mouth, possible, because now he's blowing with gold and not with the shofar, and therefore it's no good. However, if there's gold plating, not where the mouth is, it's someplace else. Again, many of the farshim have a whole discussion exactly where we're talking about. Let's keep it nice and simple. Where it's possible is if you're blowing directly on the gold, and where it's not possible is if it's plated someplace on the outside, it doesn't affect the sound, and it's not, your mouth isn't blowing on it. So, it's perfectly kosher. That is acceptable. Likewise, sipozov mi bifnim. If you put gold plating inside the shofar, it's possible, it's no good. Mi bachotz, if you put it outside the shofar, again, it depends here exactly where outside the shofar. So the Mishnah tells us, im nishtana kolo mi kamoshaya, if the gold plating is somehow going to change the sound because you're blowing, and because of the gold plating, it's going to change the sound, so then it's possible, it's no good. Because you're not blowing the shofar anymore, you're blowing the gold and the shofar. However, if the gold plating is not going to change the sound, and you're not blowing directly on it, v'yom lav kosher, then it's perfectly good. The Braisa continues and says, nikev usisamo, if you punctured the shofar, it has a hole in it, and then you seal it up, so in the akev esetakia, if the sealing of the hole somehow prevents the sound from coming out properly, so then it's possible, it's not good. However, v'yom lav, if the sealing up of the shofar is not going to change the sound around, and the sound could come out, kosher, then it's perfectly acceptable. Finally, the Braisa concludes and says, nosan shofar besoch shofar. You have a shofar, and you put another shofar inside of it. The way the Mefarshim understand this is that you have the inner part of the shofar, the inside shofar, it's sticking out on both ends. It's sticking out on the part that you're blowing on, and it's sticking out on the part where the sound comes out. So it's actually all going, the sound is all going through the inner shofar. And therefore, nosan shofar besoch shofar, if you have a shofar inside another shofar, and the inside shofar is sticking out on both ends. So im kol pnimi shama, and therefore you're only hearing the sound of the kol pnimi, so then yotzer, then you're perfectly acceptable. V'im kol chitzon shama, but if you're really hearing some of the outer sound from the outer shofar, that's part of the sound, lo yotzer, you would not be yotzer. We learn another braisa, Tana Rabbanan, gerdo. Again, if you scrape off part of the shofar, whether you scrape it bein mibfnim, if you scrape it from the inside, or bein mibchutz, if you scrape it from the outside, as long as you're left with an intact shofar, albeit it's a much thinner shofar, kosher, it's perfectly good. So much so that even gerdo, the amido, al gildo, if you scraped it so much that it's only one thin layer left, as Rashi says, geled dak, a very, very thin layer, nevertheless, kosher, it still is perfectly acceptable. Bryce continues and says, he niach shofar besoch shofar. If you placed, again, a shofar inside another shofar, so like we had previously, im kol pinimi shoma, if you heard the sound from the inner shofar because it was sticking out on both ends, so yotzer, then you just heard the sound of the inside shofar, and therefore there's no problem. In fact, it's encased in a larger outer shofar is irrelevant because you blew into the inner shofar alone, and the exit came outside the inner shofar, from the inner shofar only, and not in any way changed by the outer shofar. Therefore, your yotzer blowing one shofar. However, vim kol chitzon shoma, but if in some way some of the sound came out not from the inner shofar but from the outer shofar as well, then lo yotzer, because you have to blow one shofar and not two shofars. Hafacho v'toko bo. Now, there's a couple ways you could understand this. So first, we'll just understand this as a straight words. If you flipped it around and you blew into the wide end and the sound came out from the thin end, lo yotzer, you're not going to be yotzer. So Rapapa qualifies that. Amar Rapapa, lo tema, don't say the havche kikituna. Don't say that it means over here that you inverted it, that you took the inside and somehow through hot water you're able to go and turn it around so what was the previous inside is now the outside, and the outside is the inside. It's like you're flipping around the shirt. You wear a shirt inside out. So that's kikituna, like a shirt. Kafichas choluk, lasos pnimi chitzon. So you have the inside part of your shirt and you turn it around, so now it's the outside part. And the outside part is now the inside part. That's not what it means, what Papa says over here when we say hafacho v'tokabo. Ella, shehirchiv es hakatzor. It means that you changed around and you widened the narrow end with roschin, Rashi says with hot water, so you can stretch it out. So previously the small mouthpiece end, you now make very, very wide. And v'kitzas arachav, and the very, very wide normal end of the shofar with hot water, you narrowed it. And now you blew in this previously wide end, which is now the narrow mouthpiece end, and the sound comes out the other end, which was previously the mouthpiece end, and is now the wider end. So that's no good. That's what it means. Hafacho v'tokabo lo yotza. But why not? My taima. This is Kedirav Masna. This is what Rav Masna said. And we had this previously in Tosus as well. Dama Rav Masna, the pasuk tells us v'havarta. The pasuk tells us v'havarta shofar trua b'chodesh hashvi b'yisor l'chodesh b'yom ha-kipurim ta'aviru shofar b'chol ha-tzichem. So this lashon of v'havarta, it means, according to Rav Masna, derech havaroso brinan. It has to come out the sound in the way the animal normally has the horn. So therefore, the animal has the narrow end and then the wider end. That's the way the sound has to come out. If you change it around so the wide end is the narrow end is the wide end, while you may have accomplished having what looks like a good shofar coming from an animal that's a kosher animal for a shofar, but that's not derech havaroso, and therefore that is no good. That's why the Braisa said, hafacho v'tokabo lo yotza. That's Rav Papa's understanding of this brisa. Then we quote the Mishnah. Mishnah said, "Debake shivrei shofros puzzle." If you glue together different pieces of a shofar to make one shofar, that is still no good puzzle, even though you have one shofar. Tana Rabbanan, the brisa tells us, "Hosif alav kolshu." If you add on to a shofar even a little bit of something, bein bimino, bein shalobino, whether it's a piece of shofar or whether it's not a piece of shofar, it's some other material puzzle, because again, you have to blow one shofar, and here you're blowing more than one shofar. But the Gemara is going to question this now, because we learned in our Mishnah, Nikevu Sisamo, we learned in our Mishnah that you have a puncture and then you seal it up, so it didn't make a difference. Bein bimino, bein shelo bimino, puzzle. We said it's no good even if you use a piece of shofar. If you don't use a piece of shofar, it's no good, it's puzzle. But Rabbi Nosson Omer, bimino kosher, shelo bimino puzzle. Rabbi Nosson had said that if you do it with its own min, if you take a piece of shofar and you go plug up the hole with that, then it's perfectly good. It's only if you plug it up with lead or you plug it up with something else that it's no good. Now, when Rabbi Nosson said Bimino Kosher, what did he mean? Bimino Kosher, so I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Vu Shinishtaya Rubo. So Rabbi Yochanan said that as long as you have the majority of the original shofar there, so as long as you're plugging up the hole with piece of shofar, then it's still good. The cloud, the implication being, the shalom bimino, that if you were to plug it up with something that it's not its own min, so then even though afal pi shenishtaya rubo, even though most of it is still original shofar, possible, it's no good. So this first version of Rav Yochanan, understanding Rabbi Nosson, says the only way it's good is if you have a small part of it that's not the original shofar, and it's only good if you still plug it up with original shofar type material. Second version of Rav Yochanan, Nika Demasi Lo Seifa. The second version had Rav Yochanan making his statement on the Seifa, and that is Shelo Bimino. When Rabbi Nosson said Shelo Bimino, it's no good. Bimino Kosher, he said, but then the Seifa was Shelo Bimino, it's possible. So Amar Rav Yochanan said, there it's possible. V'hu Shenifchas Rubo. That's only if the hole was so big that now, when you're plugging it up with something shalom bimino, that's the majority. And that's why it's no good. Implication being, mechlal de bimino, that if you were to plug it up bimino, even though it's the majority, apopi shenifchas rubo, even though the majority of the shofar had been punctured, so it has a hole that's very large, but as long as it's bimino, the second version of Ryokhan is more makel and says, apopi shenifchas rubo, it is still kosher. Now, we continue in the braisa, tzipos of mi bifnim. If you plate it on the inside, it's possible. If you plate it on the outside, mibachutz. However, it depends where. Im mishtane kolo mikamoshoy, if it changes around the sound, then it's no good. Possible. That's the principle that we've been saying. If you're changing the sound, it's no good. Vim lav, but if it doesn't change the sound, then you're not blowing into it, so it doesn't impact the sound in any way, doesn't affect the sound, vim lav, kosher. Then the braisa continues, nistak liorko, if the shofar has a crack that goes along the length of the shofar, then it's possible. However, l'rochbo, but if it goes around on the width of the shofar, so then it depends. It's as if you cut the shofar. Remember we said before, if you have an elongated shofar and you cut it, as long as you have the shear left, it's good. So here too, if the crack is going around the width of the shofar, so it depends. Im nishtayer bo shear tekiah, if you have enough of a shofar that it can make a shear of shofar to blow a blast of tekiah, which I explained before what it is, which we'll now explain in the Gemara in a moment, then it's kosher. V'imlab, but if you're left with only a very small amount, so let's say you barely had 1.5 tefach beforehand, and now you cut it right in the middle, so you're left with a 0.75 tefach and a 0.75 tefach, so neither one is the shear, so then it's no good. V'imlab, possible. If you don't have a shear left after the crack around the middle, so then it's possible. And what is the shear? V'kama shear tekiah. So Pirush Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, Kidei she'ochazena b'yado, v'yeiro l'kan u'l'kan. You have to be able to make sure that the shofar is the one thing making the sound, and not your hand. So you have to hold it as a tefach in your hand. A tefach is four thumbs, so the four fingers that you're holding with it are a little bit smaller than a tefach, and therefore there'll still be a little bit left of the tefach able to stick out on the left of your hand and on the right of your hand, and therefore it will be visible. People will see that you're blowing from a shofar, and that's the minimal size of a shofar, according to Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel, Kideshia Chazen Abiyado, V'yeroa L'kan U'kan, and everybody can see that you're blowing shofar. Finally, the Brisa concludes and says, Hoya Kolo Dak, if the shofar makes a very type of thin sound, O Avor, it makes a very type of thick sound, O Tzoror, it makes a very type of a hoarse sound. Rashi says, a loshon yovesh, a drier type of a sound, a coarser type of a sound. Nevertheless, any type of sounds that a shofar makes is kosher. Right? You listen to different people blow shofars with different shofars, so they all sound differently. So all of them are perfectly good. Shekol ha-kolos kisherin, and we'll read the bracketed word, ba-shofar. That all the different types of sounds that different types of shofars can make, they're all perfectly good. There's not one that's the optimal or preferred sound, whether it's a thin sound, a thick sound, a coarser sound, a finer sound, they're all perfectly fine. Mark continues and says, Shalchul eli avur d'shmuel, they sent avur d'shmuel the following halacha. They said, kidacho, if somebody made a hole in a shofar and then blew through that hole, the takabo, this in fact would be yotza. This would be acceptable. That's what they sent to Avodah Shmuel. Shmuel says, pshita, yeah, why not? Kulu nami michtach kodachule. Every shofar is originally solid, right? In the animal, it's solid. There's a bone there, and then you take off the horn part, and that's hollowed out. So what difference does it make? How you make the hole? As long as you have the hole to allow you to blow the shofar, so then it's perfectly good. So Gemara says, no. Amar Vashi, here we're talking about shekadocho bezachruso. Here we're talking about that they didn't take out the bony part. They left the bony part around the horn part. And then they just bore through the bone. Mao the Tema, I might have said that this is min bimino and it's a chitzitza. This opinion holds that min bimino is chotzes, and therefore just making a hole wouldn't be enough. You have to remove all of the bone. Kamash v'lo, no, that isn't the case. Then we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, if you blew into something, if you heard the sound of the shofar yotze, if you heard the echo, then you're not yotze. Amar Rav Huna said, lo shanu elali also omdim al sfas habor. That which you're not yotze is if you're standing outside the bor, outside the dus, outside the pitam. But if you're inside, you're hearing the shofar, that's perfectly good. It's no different than being inside the shul. You're yotze. Aval osan omdim babar, you're sitting in this big pit, in a big cistern, yotso, you're perfectly going to be yotze. And the Brisa says the same thing as the Amora Rav Huna. Tani nam yachi, the Brisa says, atokeya letocha bar o letocha dus, yotso. If you're standing inside the bar in the dus, blowing the shofar, anybody else inside the bar in the dus is yotze. I, our Mishnah said, Vatnan lo yotza, because of the echo. So the answer is, Elolav Shmamina, it mustn't be. Kid Rav Huna, this Brisa is in accord with what Rav Huna said. It all depends whether you're inside or whether you're outside. If you're inside, you're yotze. If you're outside, you're not yotze. Oh, Shmamina. That's Taka, the way to understand this Brisa. Others had it as a kasha, and we answer it the way we just answered it. Ika derami lo mirma. Others said it's a kasha between this Brisa that we just brought down in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, "Tanana tokel tochabor tochadus lo yotza." And yet, for Tanya and the Brisa yotza, how do you reconcile the Mishnah saying you're not yotze, the Brisa you're yotze? Ah, on Rav Huna, that's what Rav Huna said. Lo kasha. Rav Huna said you can reconcile them in the following way: Kala osan ov the masvasa bor. Where our Mishnah said you're not yotze is if you're standing outside the bor, outside the dus, and you're hearing an echo. However, the Brisa that said you are yotze is kala osan ov the mabar. The people that are inside the bar, so they are yotze. This is a perfectly good break point. With this, we conclude today's share.